Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom, and today we're going to continue talking about a portrait of the wallflower as a young man, or more specifically, we're talking about our featured novel, The Perks of Being a Wallflower. Mm. And this, of course, was written by Stephen Chbosky, who's from Pittsburgh. He's very talented. He went to USC and studied screenwriting and was able also to direct his own films. And he actually did direct the film version of The Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Yeah. So it's an author I haven't been really familiar with in the past. So it's been kind of fun to learn about his career and this book in particular that was later turned into a film. I think Tom said it was 2012. Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk today, though, on the theme, some of the topics of the novel and what the author perhaps was trying to communicate. It's always interesting to kind of read into what the author was trying to say within the story. And that's what we're going to do today. So as we always do, we're going to read through the article and then we'll be back to break it down and talk about it. One of the novel's key themes is the importance of accepting people for who they really are. Charlie's journey is an example of this. When he begins school, Charlie keeps to himself because he's shy and dealing with issues from his past. This approach only makes him feel depressed. His mood changes, though, when he meets Sam and Patrick. They quickly accept him into their group and don't pressure him into acting a certain way. This helps him feel more comfortable around other people. The book also warns readers about the dangers of abusing drugs and alcohol. It portrays the effects of these substances on teens in a realistic light. At first, Charlie just wants to impress his friends by taking drugs and drinking alcohol with them. Although they make him act foolishly, he doesn't care that much because it makes him feel accepted by his friends. In the long run, he learns that using drugs and alcohol to escape from reality doesn't work. Instead, it only leaves him feeling more hopeless. In contrast to the title, Chbosky suggests that we receive more perks when we actively participate in life. At the start of the novel, Charlie just observes what others are doing and never exerts himself. His English teacher notices this and encourages him to become more proactive. When Charlie starts to make an effort and get involved, his life improves. Charlie is well aware that this isn't easy. When you participate in life, you must come face to face with dark emotions, pain, and fear. The ending suggests that it is only when we face these things that we can overcome them and let go of the past.
All right, let's talk about the contents of today's lesson. Today's lesson is all about some of the themes and ideas in our featured novel, The Perks of Being a Wallflower. Now, one of the novel's key themes is the importance of accepting people for who they really are. This is a key theme, an important idea. So a theme is like the subject of the novel, the subject of a movie, basically what it's talking about, what it's about. So one of the ideas, the themes of this book is, hey, you got to accept people for who they really are, and you should try to find out who they really are, look beyond the surface of who they're trying to be, and try to figure out who they really are deep down inside, and try to realize who you are deep down inside yourself.
Yeah, I think high school is probably the most uncomfortable time of our lives on this earth. Everybody feels uncomfortable, even the ones who seem to be the quote-unquote popular ones. Everyone's trying to find who they are and kind of blend in so they don't stick out and, you know, look like they don't, that they're not cool. So it's a tough time. Now, Charlie's journey is an example of just what the novel's key themes, one of the key themes is that you need to accept people for who they really are. When you talk about a person's journey, it's not them going from, you know, one country to another on a trip. It's actually their journey through life. And everybody's journey through life is a little different. And sometimes it's tough. And for a short time, at least in high school, Charlie's is pretty difficult.
Exactly. So it's all about his life,how he's gotten from one place and gotten to another. Not physically traveling,
no.
but more of an emotional journey, how he's grown as a person and stuff like that, how he's made friends and made realizations about the world and about himself. So, yes, indeed, the journey is an example of this, an example of accepting people for who they really are. Now, when he begins school, Charlie keeps to himself because he's shy and dealing with issues from his past. So if you keep to yourself, that means you don't really talk to other people.
Uh-huh.
If you have ideas, you just kind of don't say them to other people. Lots of times people do keep to themselves because, well, they're afraid that people will think they're weird if they say those things. I remember I kind of had some weird ideas back in school, and I'd tell people about these ideas, and they'd just kind of look at me. You know, they'd stare at me from the bottom of my feet up to the top of my head. Boy, you're really weird.
You weirdo.
And they'd walk away.
Yeah.
So after that, I realized, I guess I better keep my ideas to myself.
Right.
Otherwise, they're going to think I'm crazy and they're going to have me taken away.
We use this phrase a lot, actually, to talk about different people. Maybe you have someone in your office who doesn't really socialize with everybody else, and that's a phrase that we would use. Oh, Sally, yeah, she keeps to herself. Kind of a loner, somebody who doesn't at least get involved, whether you're at high school or at work. Maybe she has her own friends outside of where you know her from, but yeah, keep to yourself. This approach or this method or way of dealing with life only makes Charlie feel depressed. And, you know, no one wants to feel depressed. I don't. That's the worst, kind of the worst feeling you can feel is depressed. You just don't have any hope in your life. If you're depressed, everything seems to be gray. Nothing seems fun. There's no happiness anywhere. And sometimes it gets to the point where it's serious depression and people can't even get out of bed. And then they need a doctor's help.
Right, so this is his approach, the way he chooses to live. He's shy, and he's got these issues from his past. So he thinks, well, I think to protect myself, I'm going to keep to myself. But unfortunately, though, that means he doesn't really have any friends. And we all need to interact with other people to feel like we belong and stuff. So this leads to him feeling depressed. And if you feel depressed, it could mean that you just feel kind of sad. But also being depressed does refer to the clinical problem of being depressed, where you might need to take medication or have some kind of therapy or something like that. Depression is actually quite common in the modern world.
Yeah, your mood is a little bit more temporary. Depression, if you're depressed, it's more long-term sometimes. But a mood can be, you could be happy one minute and sad or angry the next. So the mood changes more quickly. It's more temporary. His mood changes, though, when he meets Sam and Patrick. Remember, he was depressed, not seriously, not enough to go see a doctor, but just kind of down, right?
Mm-hmm.
But his mood changes how he feels about life when he meets his new friend Sam and Patrick. Remember, he fell in love with Sam at first sight. They quickly accept him into their group, and they don't pressure him into acting a certain way. In high school, we have these groups called cliques, C-L-I-Q-U-E. And these groups, they all kind of act the same. I was in a clique that was, it was all singers and actors. And then there was the cheerleader clique. And, you know, there were just different, the football player clique. And they didn't accept other people into their group. You had to act and do and say the same things that the other people in the group did. Well, here, when he meets Sam and Patrick, they accept Charlie into their group, but they don't force him or make him do and say and act the same way that they do.
Exactly. Remember, Patrick is gay and Sam is his stepsister.
Yep.
So I guess they're kind of unusual to begin with. They're from a broken family. And so I guess they kind of realized that, hey, not everybody can conform to being a status quo or part of the mainstream. So they quickly accept him and they say, hey, you can just be yourself. We won't force you to act a certain way. And this helps him feel more comfortable, not only around Sam and Patrick, but around other people as well. He begins to feel comfortable with himself. He is confident. And the book also warns readers about the dangers of abusing drugs and alcohol. So, yes, this book does deal with that. I don't know if this is such a big problem in Taiwan. You hear about it, people doing drugs or smoking or drinking and things like that. But I think the problem is much bigger in American schools. Especially when I went to school, you always heard about people sneaking off to smoke a joint or something, or getting drunk on the weekends, going to somebody's party and playing cards and stuff like that. So, in American high schools, it can be, kind of dangerous because if you get into drugs and alcohol too much, it could cause some problems.
Yeah, you want to get into good groups in high school. That's pretty important. It can change your life. Now, the book portrays the effects of these substances on teens in a realistic light. It doesn't make it look all pretty and fun and glamorous. Sometimes when you see movies, they make drugs and alcohol look like it's pretty cool. But here, you're going to see some of the bad effects. It's realistic. It's what really happens in real life. A substance just means some sort of matter. It could be a liquid. It could be a solid, a substance. And we often will use substance when we talk about substance abuse. If somebody has a substance abuse problem, it's either illegal drugs or alcohol. So you'll see that when we're talking about alcohol and drugs, substance.
They refer to that as substances, various kinds of drugs. Yeah. And alcohol and stuff like that. And it portrays them. It shows these things to us in a realistic light. If it's realistic, it means it reflects reality. Mm-hmm. It's like it really is. It tells it like it really is. It doesn't really make it up or, add things that aren't really true just for dramatic effect. It does tell these things, and people say, yeah, that's how it is. That's how drugs in high school is.
Yeah.
It's not like this big fantasy just for a movie or a novel or something.
Oh, and it's all fun. No, there are consequences, too. So he wants to impress his friends. That's what high school students want to do, though. They want to fit in. They want their friends to like them. If you impress somebody, you do something that makes them think you're kind of cool. You know, maybe respect you, feel admiration for you. But of course, it doesn't really impress anybody if you're taking drugs and drinking alcohol with them. Although they make him act foolishly, because when you're on drugs or alcohol, you don't have the ability to make good decisions. He doesn't really care that much because he feels accepted by his friends. And we know that that's really the primary goal of most high school students, to feel accepted.
That it is. Okay, that brings us to the midway point in our lesson for today. Let's take a break and listen to our Chinese teacher.
Hello, 大家好，我是 Trevor， 欢迎收听 English Digest。今天我们要阅读的文章是 Unit 15文学单元的第三天课程。在今天的课程中，我们会阅读到小说作者所要传达的几个重要主题。首先，文章的第一段提到小说的其中一个重要主题就是勇敢做自己。我们看到第一段的第三句 When he begins school, Charlie keeps to himself because he's shy and dealing with issues from his past. 当查理开始上学时，他不愿与人往来，因为他很害羞，并且正在处理他过往的问题。这一句有一个片语 keep to oneself， 就是指 to stay apart from other people， 或是 to avoid other people， 也就是不和别人来往的意思。例如 Tom always keeps to himself because he's too shy to talk to others。 汤姆总是不与人来往，因为他太害羞而不敢和他人交谈。如果我们说 keep something to oneself， 只是指保密某事，不让别人知道某事的意思。例如 Lisa won't tell me what Mary has told her. She keeps it to herself. 丽莎不会告诉我玛丽跟她说了什么，她会保密这件事。我们接着看第一段的倒数第二句。They quickly accept him into their group and don't pressure him into acting a certain way. 他们很快地接纳他进入他们的团体中，并且不强迫他只能有某些行为举止。本句的 pressure 做动词用，有对什么什么施加压力的意思。 Pressure somebody into doing something 就是指对某人施加压力，使他去做某事。例如 The police were pressured into investigating this case， 警方被施加压力去调查这件案件。文章的第二段提到，小说的另一个主题就是滥用酒精和毒品的危险。我们看到第二段的第二句， It portrays the effects of these substances on teens in a realistic light， 它以写实的角度描写这些毒品在青少年身上的影响。名词 light 在本句是见解、观点的意思， in a 加形容词 light 就是指以什么什么的角度看待。This accident made me see life in a different light， 这起意外让我用不同的角度看待人生。和 light 常见的片语有 shed S-H-E-D 或 cast C-A-S-T 加 light on something， 阐明某事，使某事变清楚的意思。 The professor's lecture cast light on this complicated concept， 这位教授的讲课使得这个复杂的观念变清楚。In light of 是有鉴于的意思。 In light of recent drunk driving incidents， the government decided to increase the fines of drunk driving， 有鉴于最近的酒驾事件，政府决定提高酒驾的罚款。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned, we'll be right back.
Okay, everybody, let's continue with our lesson. Remember, we're talking about the fact that this book is very realistic about drugs and alcohol and stuff like that and trying to fit in and stuff like that. Now, it continues here. In the long run, he learns that using drugs and alcohol to escape from reality doesn't work. Uh-oh, there's that phrase. In the long run. That was an album by the Eagles when I was in high school. So, yeah, Jeff had that album, went over to his house and listened to it. But in any case here, in the long run, that just means over a long period of time. We can't really know what's going to happen in the future. So, yes, over the long term, in the long run, after a certain amount of time has passed, he learns that using drugs and alcohol to escape from reality just doesn't work. It doesn't cover up your problems. The problems are still there. It probably makes them worse. And that's what it says here in the next sentence. Instead, it only leaves him feeling more hopeless, which means basically he has less hope and it's made the situation even worse.
Yeah, I bet some of the listeners are thinking, hey, do you guys say in the short run? We do. In the short run. In the short run, most people who use drugs and alcohol think, oh, it's kind of cool, kind of fun. And it gives you that high. You can forget about your worries when you're on one of these substances. But in the long run, it kind of screws up your life. So, yeah, and he learned that himself. So at the first, as he first got into this group, you know, he's like, oh, I'm going to impress my friends and do what they do. And then he learned that it wasn't really working for him. Instead, he ended up feeling more hopeless. In contrast to the title, Schabowski suggests that we receive more perks when we actually participate in life. We often talk about, you know, you need to get out there and participate in life. Don't sit on the bench. Get up there, you know. If you're on the bench, it's like a sports team. The players who are on the field, they're actually participating. They're having fun. But if you're on the bench, you're not in the game. So he actually suggests that just as the title tells us there are perks for being a wallflower, it's just the opposite.
Well, there probably are some perks to being a wallflower. Maybe you don't need to feel so bad if you're shy and awkward and an outsider and stuff like that. But still, it's still better that you involve yourself with life and not be a wallflower so much and open up and be outgoing and interact with other people and participate in life. Join the football team, join a yoga class, etc. Maybe, go on a hike with your classmates and stuff like that. Go to karaoke and sing your heart out and stuff like that. Yeah, just be in the middle of life. And at the start of the novel, Charlie just observes what others are doing and never exerts himself. So, yes, he's kind of on the sidelines, as we say. He's just, panguanji, he's just observing things from the side, but he's not actually participating. He's just observing. He's just watching what others are doing. And he doesn't exert himself. If you exert yourself, basically, you put yourself in the situation, okay? You actually make some effort and you actually try to be part of things that are happening.
Yeah, exert to me always reminds me of using physical energy or strength to do something. Usually if you're tired, you've exerted yourself, right? You're so tired. You're exhausted because you've exerted yourself. But you need to get out there and sometimes do some things that are kind of scary for you. It's not always comfortable to participate, but you end up getting to know people better and also learning more than just sitting on the side. So his English teacher notices that Charlie just kind of sits back and observes what others are doing, and he doesn't get in there and exert himself. And so the English teacher encourages him to become more proactive. I want to talk about proactive for a minute because I teach business people writing here in Taiwan in the evening, and I've had some people say, I want an aggressive worker. And I said, be careful with the word aggressive. Aggressive has sort of a negative feeling to it. Someone who's selfish and doesn't care about other people. They'll just do what it takes to get ahead and be successful. Proactive is a much more positive word. If someone's proactive, they don't need to be told what to do. They're always looking for work to do. Their boss doesn't have to watch them. They come to the boss and go, hey, I'm done with my job. What else do you need? Or they think of things themselves. So if you're proactive, you're not waiting for other people to make life fun for you or to entertain you. You go and find something that's fun.
You could just say active, okay? Be more active and don't be so passive. Basically, don't wait for things to happen to you. Go out there and make them happen. I remember when I was a kid, my mother had this sort of embroidery thing hanging on the wall. It said, don't wait for your ship to come in. Swim out after it.
So I like it.
It's kind of a message there. Yeah. Take the initiative. Go out there and be proactive. Don't wait for things to happen.
You know what the difference though between active and proactive is, though, right?
Yeah.
Active, you could be active because other people put you into action, but proactive means it's coming from you. It's coming from inside you. I love your mom's saying, though. Say it again. Don't wait for your ship to come in. Go out, swim out and swim out to it.
Swim out after it, yeah.
Oh, love it.
We have a phrase in English, our ship has finally come in.
Yeah.
That means we've gotten rich. We're now successful. We've won the lottery
Got
or
the
whatever.
Good luck we needed, yeah.
Et cetera. But in any case, yeah, be more proactive. Take the initiative, basically.
Huh.
Start things out. So when Charlie actually starts to make an effort and get involved, his life improves. So, yes, he was probably pretty shy before, but now he's starting to have more confidence. He makes an effort. He's proactive.
It's good.
He's getting involved. And as a result, his life improves. More people accept him and stuff. And so he is no longer a wallflower. He's no longer an outsider. He doesn't feel like, an idiot or something like that. So his life has improved because of various things here. I guess because he's not doing drugs anymore and because he's dealing with reality instead of trying to be what other people want him to be.
Yeah, he's finding out who he really is. Remember, that was one of the first key themes that we found out about in this article today, the importance of accepting people for who they really are. That includes yourself, accepting who you really really are and being happy with who you are and not trying to be what other people want you to be or what you think you need to be, just to be happy with who you are. When you participate in life, it says you must come face to face with some tough things like dark emotions like depression and anger, pain and fear. He had to come to terms or accept the fact that he'd had that awful Aunt Helen, remember, who'd abused him, and he had to deal with it and find a way to forgive her so he could move on. So those are some of the things that he came face to face with once he decided he wanted to participate and not just sit back and let life pass him by.
Yep, he was able to confront those demons, come face to face with those dark emotions, with the pain and the fear, deal with them, and the ending suggests that it is only when we face these things that we can overcome them and let go of the past. So yes, we might have some dark secrets in our past that we're having trouble forgetting about, so we try to forget about them by joining the wrong group of friends or doing drugs and alcohol, driving fast cars or whatever. But hey, we need to face these things, and then we can overcome them, we can conquer them, and so they no longer control us, and we can let go of the past. To let go of the past, fang kai, you know, just don't worry about it so much. What's done is done. I forgive you. Let's move on with our lives. I'm not going to worry about this anymore.
Yeah, so this has some really good things for not just teens, but adults as well. We hope you get a chance to pick up a copy, give it a chance, and then try to catch the movie as well. I'm sure it's out in video form, and you can get a hold of it. Or maybe it's streaming somewhere.
Probably is. That's how people watch movies these days.
Yeah.
But in any case, that brings us to the end of our lesson. Let's hear from our Chinese teacher one more time.
我们接着看第二段的最后一句。Instead...It only leaves him feeling more hopeless. 相反的，这只会让他感到更绝望。Leave, keep, find 等动词后面可以接一个受词，然后再接一个受词补语。受词补语可以是现在分词 ving, 过去分词 vpp 和形容词。如果受词和受词补语是主动语态的话，用 ving。如果是被动语态的话，就用 vpp。例如Parents should never leave their children playing in a public place unattended. 父母不该让小孩子在公共场所游戏而未受到看顾，因为 children 是主动 play, 所以 play 变成 V-I-N-G, playing. 接着我们看到文章的最后一段。In contrast to the title, Chbosky suggests that we receive more perks when we actively participated in life.与书名相反的是，切波斯基认为当我们积极地参与生活，我们才会得到更多好处。表达要求、命令、建议、请求、坚持等语义的动词，其后接 that 所引导的名词子句，必须用假设语气，表示应采取某种行动或完成某种要求，却还未执行。所以 that 子句里用 should 加原形动词的结构，通常会省略 should。只留下原形动词，例如 The doctor recommended that I do more exercise. 医生建议我要多运动。这句虽然是过去式，但 that 子句里因为是 should 省略，所以还是用原形动词 do。但是部分上述的动词也可以做一般陈述语义来使用，表示说话者认为 that 子句里面叙述是事实。这就不属于假设语气的用法。这时候子句里的动词形态需依文意而定。例如文章最后一句的 suggest 是认为、显示、有什么什么含义的意思，而非建议。所以 that 子句里不用 should 加原形动词。以上就是今天的课程，我们下次再会。
That's it for today, everybody. Thank you for joining us, and please join us again next time for another edition of our program. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
See ya.